All right, everyone, welcome to episode 32 of Storm the Court podcast. As always, Reegs and Terrence Payne. Terrence, what's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on?
Nothing. Kind of a slow week in the college basketball world, game-wise. It's this week and really next week with finals, end of semester, whatnot. You kind of lose a lot of the weekday games that we saw, you know, early in the season over Thanksgiving break with tournaments and whatnot. So, you know, tonight, slow slate, Iowa-Iowa State. I think Iowa State will just murder Iowa. And I saw you tweeted, I had it in my blog today too, game that's a little bit under the radar is UT Arlington and St. Mary's, but, you know, kind of overall slow week. So, obviously, season is well underway. I think you kind of have a sense of teams so far. I liked your tweet today, and we'll kind of jump right into it. You know, teams struggling, teams performing well. A conference as a whole that's struggling is the A-10. We both said it right before. We both think that they're typically the best conference when you get outside the Power Six. You know, guys like Dayton, VCU, Rhode Island, teams like that, St. Joe's, you know, they're usually NCAA tournament teams. People expected three teams to be ranked this year, give or take. But I'll let you run with it. What's going on in the Atlantic 10?
I think the two teams we expected to be the flag bearers, Dayton and Rhode Island, they've just been hampered with some injuries. The Cunningham and Pollard at Dayton. And then you look at Rhode Island, they're now missing Hassan Martin and, you know, obviously E.C. Matthews coming off an ACL tear, and that does take time. And I thought that was going to be a bit of a process because when he missed all but 10 minutes last year.
Yeah.
So that meant Garrett and Terrell stepped into that backcourt and did a pretty good job. So their roles changed when he came out. They sort of flourished, and now their roles change again. So I thought that was going to be bit of you know, might be an issue, but they at least have a good win against Cincinnati. You can't say the same for a lot of the teams we sort of pegged to be, you know, NCAA tournament teams. I tweeted that only seven of them have a top 10 win according to KenPom. Now the KenPom rankings, top 100, yeah. And the KenPom rankings still sort of, you know, they don't get better until later in the year, probably more realistic until later in the year, but. Yeah, they it's just a conference that it's not looking good come March if this is how it's going, because they're just going to lack some non-conference wins.
Yeah, kind of each team, you know, you look at the top 3 with throw VCU in the mix. I think everyone agreed those were the top 3 kind of heading into the season.
Right.
Each team had a chance to kind of get that marquee win. A little bit of bad luck, like you said, with the injuries. Dayton didn't have Pollard or Cunningham when they played St. Mary's. St. Mary's just killed them on the boards. You know, right now, that'd be a top 10 win. And you had them at Dayton, too. That was a good chance for a win. VCU had Baylor on a neutral court and then got smoked by Illinois. Just lost to Georgia Tech. So, again, Georgia Tech's an awful loss. But, you know, Illinois would at least been another top 100 win as of now. Baylor, again, top 10 win. Or in KenPom, they're 11, but I think everyone kind of right now consider Baylor a great win.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like every chance is going by the wayside. We'll get into this with some other teams too, but, you know, I still think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but would you still think it's probably a three-team bid league right now?
I still think that that's probably what it's going to be. It just looks that way right now. I think there's some pretty good teams. I think GW is a good team. I just think they're sort of thin as far as depth.
Plus, you still got that whole Lonergan situation, which is, again, you never know.
Davidson, they have Jack Gibbs, so they could always play their way into some big wins. You can't really bet against McKillop. I think UMass has been a lot better than I thought they were going to be, but I still think they're young. There's a chance a lot of those kids can hit the freshman wall
at
some point.
TJ Klein.
Yeah, Richmond, St. Bonaventure. They're sort of in that same boat where they haven't had a real good win. But, you know, there are some teams, and like VCU, they now have collected bad losses with Illinois and Georgia Tech. Like, so there's stuff like that's sort of concerning. But yeah, it's a I think it will sort itself out. I think if Dayton can get healthy, I don't think they're seeing Cunningham again.
And Pollard just started
Yeah,
playing some
Pollard. Yep.
minutes.
And if Rhode Island can get Martin back, those two teams I think will figure it all out. And then VCU's got some. They've dug themselves to a bit of a hole. Davidson, I think, still has a chance to get there. You look at their worst loss is College of Charleston.
And
Jared Charleston.
they blew up what, 15-point lead in that game?
Yeah. So. And then they lost to Clemson. That could be a tournament team. They lost by single digits to North Carolina.
And the one thing going, at least they were all either neutral or a white court,
Right. And then they got Kansas. So there is all that. But
There are chances, though. I mean, I'm looking, Dayton has East Tennessee State, Northwestern, Vanderbilt all in the top 100 right now. Those are their next three games, and you have them two at home and one. It's in Chicago, but it's not on Northwestern's campus.
yeah.
Rhode Island, they have Houston, which is a top 100 team next. That's at Houston. So at least with teams like that, you can still get a couple quality wins, or at least what looks like quality wins now.
Yeah,
VCU, who just loves you,
obviously.
I don't know where they get another quality win. I mean, Old Dominion, Middle Tennessee would probably end up being their best win.
I mean, and the schedule wasn't filled with too many of those either. They had Baylor, but the size just wore them down in that
Right.
second half. But
And then they got unlucky with St. John's and LSU in the same tournament.
right, then you fall on the wrong side of the bracket.
Yeah, and just the fact that they aren't good with, St. John's and LSU just aren't good teams.
Right.
Oh great, we had to play a team from the SEC and the Big East. Well, you played two of the three worst teams, probably two of the four worst teams when you throw in DePaul and Missouri.
Well, speaking of LSU, you want to transition into that?
Yeah, I was gonna say, you want to go there, or we could stay with teams that aren't gonna get. Let's stick with this real quick. Another team that's not gonna get a quality non-conference win is Syracuse.
Yeah, that was a what a that what an anticipated matchup. What ended up being a rock fight the other night.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that was a good game just because it was close.
Yeah, and the box score makes it look like a good game. That game was brutal to watch. Even down the stretch, it was like both teams are trying to lose the game.
It was awful.
Yeah, but the Syracuse and you said about me and VCU. Syracuse fans love you, and I think what a lot of us thought was they don't have a point guard, which is a problem, and they're not a great rebounding team, which is another problem. Like
Yeah.
these were issues they had last year, and it all got sort of covered up by that improbable Final Four run. You could make the argument they didn't deserve the bid. So yeah, they got absolutely killed by Nigel Hayes. South Carolina flummoxed their lack of point guards, and they lost to a UConn team that's A, hampered with injuries, and B is terrible.
Yeah,
Like
and
they're bad.
you were up 11 in a game that looked like neither team was going to score 11 points combined the last
Yeah,
8 minutes of the
I
game.
thought the game was over when they went up by double digits.
Yeah.
I thought they there was no chance UConn came
They
back.
would win
But
by 20, is what it looked
yeah,
like. But
so
like you
yeah,
said, they are giving up. There's 50 teams worse than them at giving up offensive rebounds. And this is a team that, obviously, the zone plays a part in that because of how high they bring up the zone, the wings.
right.
But still, the guys that are on that floor, and everyone wants to make a big deal about their height. Well, they still got to box out. I'm sorry, but you're still starting Daylon Coleman at center, or at your five spot. I don't think Coleman's that good of a player. He had a good game against UConn, but there's a lot of problems here. And I think the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems that really is kind of a shock, is just how much Tyler Lydon's kind of regressed.
Yeah, I mean, he really was a non-factor in that game for the majority of the night. Like the first half, like he really wasn't there. He had a couple shots in the second, but I mean, 1 for 7.
Right.
He had 9 rebounds. I'll give him that. But I mean, like
Wow.
there are times on the court where you forget that he was there.
Anybody who was on the court was going to get at least 7 rebounds with how many missed shots there were.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, but I still think the lack of point guard is play. They haven't had a point guard since Tyler Ennis.
Yeah, I mean
Like, I mean, I'll phrase that. They haven't had a starting caliber point guard
they haven't had a true point guard.
Well, Caleb Joseph is a true point guard. He just wasn't supposed to be a day one starter. They
Right.
recruited him as Tyler Ennis's backup for a year, hopefully two. Ended up Ennis, outdid expectations. But then, this is still a problem. I'm going to keep mentioning this because they didn't get Quade Green.
Yeah,
That's who
who
they needed. That's who they needed, and
and
they didn't get him.
and next year is
So,
a very
in
weak.
every point guard, I don't, and I, they're definitely not in Duvall's final six, four, five,
Right, and
whatever the
they're
hell it
not
was.
Trae Young's.
Like, Mekhi Ashton Langford is off the boards. Wabisa Bede is off the board.
Shai
Tremont Waters is off the
Alexander's off the
board.
board.
They're off the board now. Like, so it's they missed the boat on Quade Green. It's so this is still going to be a problem
Especially because
moving forward, unless
they put 2 years into recruiting Quade Green.
unless they can get someone on the grad transfer scene. I don't even know who that could possibly be
Right. I mean,
at
obviously
this
that'll
point.
play its way out.
Yeah, they'll play it. So yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But it's just, yeah, very odd for a team of that caliber to just go this long without an actual point guard.
I mean, the one thing that Syracuse will have is the ACC is so good that they will have a chance to get
Yeah, and
a
that's
million
right.
quality wins in conference. But when you look at the non-conference, and it's been a knock on Syracuse for years, is the fact that, the running joke was always that I've heard growing up was always Boeheim doesn't leave New York until January. And it's still kind of true. Like, and obviously that
Is.
happens more, but I mean, even like their neutral court games are at the Garden.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams that are guilty of that,
Right,
though.
right.
Yeah.
But it's just, when you look at their schedule, I mean, their best win right now is Monmouth at home. And then after that, they don't have a win in the KenPom top 225. Like, and their better non-conference games left are Georgetown, Eastern Michigan. It's just, there's a lot left to be desired. I really like Andrew White. I think he's really coming into his own. I like him as your off guard. But what the hell are they doing with Howard and Gillen? Who's going to be the guy that can kind of initiate that offense? You
Neither.
look
They're
at,
both score first guys.
right, and you look at like Duke, who kind of is in the same boat. The difference is Duke's just so much more talented.
And Duke can get away with it when they're that talented and they
Right.
move the ball the way they do. That's the thing.
Well, like
How
Grayson
they can get.
Allen's. One thing that Grayson Allen is strong at is driving and kicking. He's really good, obviously, getting in the lane, and he knows how to kick. Playing with Brandon Ingram for a year kind of helps that. But, I mean, do you trust Howard? Do you trust Gillen? Do you trust Battle in that situation?
Not really. None of them are really the guys that are going to run the offense.
Right.
But yeah, I'm just really sort of stunned that I knew we had these questions about them, but this is not looking good for Syracuse right now, especially when you look at what the ACC looks like.
Yeah, I mean, hell, the ACC, I mean, Wake Forest is your 12th team. They look damn good for being a 12th team in the conference.
And we'll go back to Georgia Tech just beat VCU on its home floor. Like
Obviously on the
that does
road.
not happen. That does not happen often. So even the teams we sort of pegged as the bottom feeders, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, and Boston College, at least two of the three, have shown that they're not a gimme.
I'm sorry, not VCU. Georgia Tech, they have two road losses. It's a Tennessee and Penn State, and then one bad loss, which is at home to Ohio. But again, you're talking about three teams right around the top 100 in KenPom. So it's not like they've been, they're not Boston College. They're not DePaul type bad. But yeah, it's Syracuse. I mean, their projected record's 19 and 12, which I think a lot of fans would not have believed heading into the season.
Coming off of a Final Four appearance and bringing back the guys you bring back.
Right. So it's the other problem is with this, and this is the last thing I want to talk about Syracuse before we move on, is the zone just does not look like the typical Syracuse 2-3 zone.
I think that's what happens when you throw in so many new guys, though.
Right. But it's at what point does this and what point and does it change to, okay, this is actually looking like the zone that everyone comes to see. They're just getting, and we saw the key to beat it with Wisconsin is where you get a guy like Hayes who's a playmaker by passing the ball as opposed to trying to beat it like Tom Crean did in the Sweet 16 a couple years back by running like a man offense or something, trying to get cute with it. If you just run a tip like a very basic zone defense or zone offense, and you have a guy that's a capable passer in that high post and a guy that can catch and dunk the ball from the short corner, you're gonna destroy it.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of touched on it about how, if the zone gets better. I think that's something we could lead into right now. I'm going to call an audible here about teams we think right now could get better
Yeah.
over time.
And Syracuse, I would throw into that category. I think they will get better over time. For me, though, my number one, who I think is going to get better, I'll say 1A and 1B, and they're two completely different reasons why. 1A being Oregon. You get Brooks back. They're starting to run that offense a little bit better. They're not as stagnant. And Brooks is just kind of like the calming factor on that team. 1B is Duke. Duke's going to get a million times better as the season goes on. You know,
Right.
Giles is coming back. You know, Bolden and Tatum are making their way back. Jackson's kind of coming into his own. Obviously, Kennard's just a massive breakout. You look at Allen to start getting healthy. You know, I wouldn't say they're necessarily flying under the radar because everyone talks about Duke, but they're almost flying under the radar with how much they'll improve as the season goes on.
My favorite thing about the Duke season is how everyone come March is going to equally hate Luke Kennard as they do Grayson Allen.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm also pro Grayson Allen tripping people. I want him to go full villain. I want a full heel
we
turn.
need that. We need. And when he declared back, I'll never forget the blog I wrote. The headline was, "College Basketball Gets Its Villain Back." And that's the
I like it.
way. That's what that they need to embrace it. They need to be like the Warriors, and just they need that Grayson Allen's Draymond Green. They both kick and trip people. You got a shooter in Kennard who can be like Klay Thompson, because let's face it, I could see Luke Kennard sipping on a beer talking to reporters after a game. I don't care if he's 19, 20 years old.
Oh my God. I don't think that's happening, Riggs. I don't think that's, but no, I that we're getting a little off topic topic with that. But for me, the team I think is gonna get better is Xavier.
Yeah, I
They're
would agree.
they've lost two straight. One was to Baylor at Baylor, another one was to Colorado at Colorado. And I think Colorado is a pretty good program.
Yeah, I was.
That team's gonna be in the tournament again. So the two tournament losses. I think if they get Miles Davis back, that gives them another ball handler. That gives him another shooter because they're not shooting the ball well, and
Yeah.
that gives them a leader on the floor, which is what he's been over the last couple of years at Xavier.
And
So,
it sounds like he's coming back soon.
I think by all, he should be back by conference play or the next semester, whatever it is. If he's back, then it changes the course of that season for them, and they could be right back in the top 10 and competing with Creighton and Villanova.
I mean, hell, think about it. If they win their next two games, the narrative on them will be switched right away because they have Utah and Wake Forest back to back at home. That's their next two games. You win those two again, the narrative starts to go back because, again, two quality wins. You get them on your home court. If you blow one of them out, you know, win the other game by 8, 9 points.
And while we kind of have given teams some shit for not having these signature wins, Xavier does have some wins that Clemson's a good win, Northern
Yeah,
Iowa
Northern Iowa.
twice is a good win, and even if you look, if you know I'm really stretching here, but like North Dakota State, they're a favorite to win their league. Lehigh is a favorite to win their league. I know those don't look too great on paper, but like those teams could be a tournament team come March.
Buffalo's
But
one of the two or three, the top two or three MAC
they've at
teams.
least have they don't let's put it this way, they don't have a bad loss.
No, they don't. They don't.
They don't have a bad loss. Let's put it
Like,
that's the long-winded way of saying it. They don't have a bad loss.
and they were beating Baylor with like 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, that was a good game. That was a tight game
That was a really good game.
until about the last portion of it when Baylor just blew the doors off of them.
And same thing with Colorado. I mean, they were beating Colorado the entire game. You make
Yeah.
free throws and you win that game and you get out of there with another quality win. Yeah, I think, you know, I have Xavier as one of those teams I think they'll get better. I think they're somewhere in between expectations in the preseason. Again, Final Four. Everyone thought it was kind of them and Villanova as the top two teams in the Big East, and then a gap to Creighton, then a gap to, you know, like the Seton Halls and the Butlers of the world.
Right.
They're in between where they are now, and I think those expectations of, as the season goes on, I still think they'll finish second or third in the Big East. They'll still be like a 3 or 4 seed. If I had to guess right now, I'd put my money on them being about a 4 seed. I'm not worried about them. They just look a little lost. And I mentioned it today watching them. Last year, they were so good because they could run that 1-3-1 zone.
Yeah.
And you had Reynolds and Farr and or Farr in the back. They just don't have that post presence this year.
And everyone sort of thought that was going to be Gaston, but there's a huge difference between at almost averaging a double double in the MEAC and replacing one of the nation's best rebounders in the Big East. Like, that's the thing. And if you kind of look at the makeup of this team, like, they still have a lot of talent, but last year you could say they had legitimately 7 starters. Mercura and Farr, and like you didn't replace those guys with people of that caliber. Like, Mercura is not in the starting lineup, so you lost that 6th man. You lost Farr to graduation. Like, those guys that replaced them aren't at the same level that they were at last year. And again, you don't have Davis. You don't have as big of a front line because you lost Jalen Reynolds and James Farr. So I think it's a combination of all that. I think Remy Abel's a huge loss.
That was
So
that was another big
they
one.
lost for bringing back Sumner and Blewett, they lost a lot of talent.
Yeah, and they're still deep because I like Bernard, I like Gooden, I like Gates, I like Tyreek Jones. I think that they'll all kind of find their roles. I feel like they just don't have an identity right now. The big three with Mercura, Sumner, and Blewett. I think they don't know who's supposed to be like the alpha of that group.
I think they're just shooting really badly right now.
They
It's
are. I mean,
Mercura and Sumner. I think that's their biggest
yeah,
problem.
Blewett's shooting
And
36% from deep,
I just
but
don't think they really have. While Sumner sort of has the look of a guy that's going to be an NBA point guard one day, I just don't know if he's a point guard right now.
yeah, he's just, I mean, a little bit of
You
that
know what I mean?
sophomore slump type thing. Mercura, again, what do they want him to be? He came into Xavier as a spot-up shooter. Now he's always had athleticism, but now he's doing a little bit more of driving. He's shooting a decent amount of threes. He shot 52 on the year. So I think it's almost, and I think when Davis comes back, that's another scorer that takes away attention from one of those three.
And he's also a ball handler.
Yeah.
This is one of my proudest tweets. If JP Mercura was on Duke, he'd be the most hated player in college basketball. Imagine
100%.
that trio. Imagine that trio. Grayson Allen, ultra athletic white boy, Luke Kennard, who can shoot from anywhere, and then JP Mercura, who might
Who's.
be even dirtier than Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about, if those three were on the same team, you could throw out every single white stereotype shooter, gritty, hustle,
Coach's son.
defense,
They would be
leader.
slapping the floor
Oh boy, would they be slapping
nonstop.
the floor.
And then throw in this, you have Krzyzewski and John Shire on the bench coaching them. Shire would be out there slapping the floor with them.
God.
Imagine those practices.
It'd be amazing.
I wish JP Mercura, and I love JP Mercura, but
Oh, I love him too. I love him too. But
I kind
like,
of want him to transfer to Duke now.
I kind of want to see that.
That would
It'd
be.
be amazing.
And then who else can we fill out on that starting five that would just perfectly make up like the most hated the Duke personality most hatred team? I know we're going a
Alex,
little off the rails here, but this is too good.
give me Alec Peters from Valparaiso.
Oh,
That's
that's a good one. Yeah, then he
your
can play your
four.
big.
Oh man, another big white guy.
Like I want to say Karnowski, but I think you need a white American. It can't be the
Ah,
European.
yeah. That's oh, th yeah. That's true. You need a white American. Although Karnowski beating Washington down the floor yesterday is outrageous.
Laugh out loud funny.
He's 300 pounds with a bad back, and he beat the entire team down the floor. Incredible.
After a made
After a made
basket.
basket, he
After
was.
a made
It wasn't
basket.
like it wasn't like he was in, he was on the elbow or above the 3-point line. He was like 92 feet away from the bucket.
Oh.
Unreal. Okay, we really need to round out this top five.
We need another big, right?
Yeah.
Because you could run Peters possibly at the five, you know, if you wanted to go
Yeah,
really
we
small.
just need another forward.
Would you throw Derek? I mean, I don't know if Derek Willis would fit.
I don't think so.
Oh, there's got to be somebody. Somebody
Yeah.
from Villanova.
Oh, Tyler Lydon. Tyler
Lydon, there
Lydon.
you go. Lydon would be
There we go.
perfect. There you go. There's
There
your
we go.
five. That
We
would
nailed it.
be the greatest team ever.
That'd be, oh.
It'd be must-watch TV.
The hate on that would just be incredible.
That would
So we
be.
just put together the whitest, grittiest, hardest working basketball IQ team.
Always carrying lunch pails. They would have to come onto the court carrying a lunch pail.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh,
that would
we
be great.
could have gone Ethan Happ.
Hap would be a good one.
Could have picked up Austin Nichols.
Well, he'd only play for 11
Yeah,
minutes.
I mean, like you. I'm just saying you could. You
Yeah,
don't have
Nichols would be a
to.
good one. Oh, Kyle Guy would be a great one out there with his man
Yeah.
bun. There's oh, this is great. That would be a team that I think would be so hated that I would probably end up having to love.
Think you'd have to.
Just it'd be the long form pieces on them would be unbelievable.
Oh, Bryce Alford. That's another one.
And Tyler Welsh.
Let's just add. Yeah, there you go. We just rounded out this team.
That's it. 13.
Maybe
Just, I mean,
maybe
really just
maybe.
combine UCLA with Leaf and Welsh.
Oh, Nick Emery from BYU, another guy.
There we go.
Another guy who fits the dirty category. Another
Oh.
under the radar one, like Tyler Cavanaugh from GW.
Yeah, he's got experience playing down there at Wake.
Mike Dom from South Dakota State, another 6'9" shooter.
Oh, this is.
Oh, this is great. We
We need
just
this
put
team to
together the
happen. If
greatest.
anybody is listening to this, please just like start a summer league with this team.
Yeah. We just put together an incredibly white but incredibly good team.
Incredibly white, incredibly good, and incredibly hated team.
Yes.
All right, so we completely went off the rails,
Yeah, and that's what we're gonna that's what that's kind of what we
which is
do.
here's a segue for you. Also completely off the rails, Lorenzo Romar and Washington. What the hell's wrong with them?
They just don't make any they don't play defense. If you read the article from Rob
Yes.
right NBC, the
Yes.
quote is it's like they've never they don't play their defense is fucking terrible or something like
They
that.
don't play fucking defense, is that what I think it
It's like
was?
I don't it's like they've never been coached.
No, and that's
And
my
we
problem. I've caught some tweets from Washington fans like, well, he's the most successful coach in Washington history. A, that's not saying much. B, look at the talent he's had. I
Yeah, it's
mean,
kind of. I understand that point. I understand that he brought them to a certain level that
right.
the program had never
He has
experienced. But
three tournament wins since 2006.
you can't just say that as the reason why, oh, we can't get rid of him because he's the best we've ever had. It's like, well, no, because he's not being effective anymore. Like, yeah, he didn't he had a low bar and he absolutely soared over it. But again, it's a low bar. And I mean, you can't have the amount of draft picks he has and will
Right.
have when you add in Michael Porter and Markelle Fultz. And like, I'm not talking about draft picks. I'm talking about top 10 picks.
First round
Can't have
picks,
them.
top 10 picks.
Even the second round pick, Isaiah Thomas, is the best Washington player in the league right now.
Yeah.
It's like you can't have all of this talent.
Even guys
I
like
mean,
Andrew Andrews, who didn't get drafted.
but he's also had multiple guys, Terrence Ross and
Tony
Tony Rowe,
Roten, CJ Wilcox.
but like they got drafted in the same first round. Same thing with Chris and Murray this past summer. Like you just can't have that and be like, oh well, he's the best coach we ever had.
Which
Like
is
not many
true. Like
teams have talent like that.
he is, but it's and to kind of correlate this to like the NFL, you hear right now the Packers need to get rid of Mike McCarthy because they've kind of been he's been there long enough. Feel like you hit your peak. That's how I feel with Washington and Romar. Like they hit their peak with him. They're never going to be what they were when what was it? The Brandon Roy team who was like the number one seed made the Sweet 16. I think that was an 05, 06, 05, 06. I think it was
Yeah,
06.
and
But like
Yeah, I
that
mean,
was the
like
peak.
you look at what happened with Jamie Dixon. He's at Pitt for 13 years. They make the tournament 11 times, and he's, you know, it seemed like he had worn out his welcome with some of the people there. Like they were unhappy with him and the lack of, you know, while it's success, there was no major scandals. There was, you know, he's graduating kids, like, but they're tired of watching the first weekend of the NCAA tournament and not having a rooting interest anymore. Like, and they made a change.
I think Washington would kill for the first week in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
They can't even
And I mean,
get there.
and if you like said you're gonna have the number one overall pick and you're in a conference where
There's no
outside there's, I
dominant
mean,
team.
there's no dominant team right now. We all thought it was gonna be Arizona and Oregon
I
and
mean,
like, you
UCLA
know.
looks the part right now, but.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, entering the year it was like it's Oregon, Arizona, maybe UCLA, and then there's a bunch of question marks for everyone else. It was reasonable to believe they could finish top four.
Right, and that's, you assume five teams are probably going to come out of there to the tournament.
Right.
It's just.
And I'll give him some credit, or, you know, I'll just throw this out there. Like, he didn't think Murray and Chris were going to jump after one year.
Sure,
I
but
mean,
that happens.
yeah, it does happen. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't think he's as bad as Johnny Jones.
Yeah, that's
At
what I was going to
least
lean
he's,
into
yeah.
is who's been more underwhelming, Jones or Romar? I think it's Romar without question.
I think it's Jones. I mean, at least how many tournaments? What's Jones's tournament
This is
looks
his
like?
fifth year at LSU. He made the tournament twice, lost in the first round both times.
Yeah, but look at the and I'll give him some slack because the team last year, while they had Simmons, Blakeney didn't play up to his level. They didn't get Victor until after the first semester.
And Horns
Jarrell Martin and Jordan Mickey left.
left.
If you keep one of them,
And Hornsby was hurt all year.
and Hornsby was hurt all year. But yeah, I would say it's
I think it's Romar.
that was just a bad team last year.
Yeah, but I think it's Romar. I mean, you look at, and not only that, but Seattle has produced some great college basketball talent. And he's lost some of that to recruiting out of state.
It's very weird. Louisville's had like a pipeline to Seattle for a while.
Yeah. And Kentucky's had a couple guys from there. You had Wilcher, Jones, and then Louisville had, what, Peyton Siva was from there.
Terrence Williams,
Terrence
Jamal
Williams.
Crawford. Well, he wasn't a Louisville star. Shaquan Aaron, who's now at USC. So there's always been talent that comes out of the Pacific Northwest. But I mean, do you think they make a change after this year, knowing that Porter comes in next year?
I think it's after Porter because I don't think they, unless they promote Porter's dad to head, like
They're
interim
not
head
gonna do
coach,
that. They won't do that.
right? Unless they
Not
do
coming.
that or some guarantee to keep him on staff, I don't think. The other thing is, the guys that we've listed all love Romar. Romar is an alum of Washington. They're not as. They're not as willing, I think, as like a Pitt, Jamie Dixon. Like, he's not a, quote, Pitt guy. Romar is a Washington guy. I think it's got to be after next year. Well, I think it already should have been done, but I think they'll hold on to him until after next year just because they know Porter's coming in. You give him the chance with Porter. I mean, who knows? But again, if Porter's looking at this, you got to assume he's coming in going, I'm going to be playing in the same situation as Fultz. Like, there's still not going to be great talent around him.
You also could be saying I'm here for 3 months, four
Right,
months.
right. And I'm playing with my dad. And
Right.
is his brother going to be there? Or is his brother the year after?
Brother's there.
His brother's
Brother's
there, so he's
there.
playing with his
Yeah.
brother. I think it's going to be, 2 years, after next year. But I mean, Romar's got to be dead man walking at this point.
He's at least on borrowed time. So I think
Yeah.
you're right with after 17, 18.
It's just embarrassing. Like, watching them play yesterday against Gonzaga was embarrassing.
It's really tough to just like have that sort of like NBA draft success and just not have really any, not even, you know, postseason appearances show for it. That's a really tough sell.
Yeah, I mean, he's made, what, two, three Sweet 16s in
Yeah.
13 years with all
But
that talent.
to have the amount of first round picks he has in the last 5 years and not have an NCAA tournament appearance is wild.
Yeah, and in the Pac-12, which is not a dominant conference.
Yeah.
It's been Arizona. I mean, last year obviously at Oregon, but mostly it's just been Arizona. So
Yeah.
you're telling me you couldn't steal a Pac-12 title? They did, I guess they did with what, Isaiah Thomas's year, but You're telling me other years that you couldn't get hot for three games in LA or wherever they're playing now? Yeah, it's just like I said, I think it was just embarrassing watching them play last night. The defense was atrocious. At one point, Gonzaga was shooting 80% from the field in the first half, which I would bet most people probably couldn't shoot 80% in an empty gym for like 15 minutes. So we'll go to the flip side. Teams that are kind of exceeding expectations right now. We got asked this on Twitter. Let's see who the guy's name was. Nick Louise asked what our thoughts are on Providence outperforming expectations early, including the win over Rhode Island. How high do we think they can finish in the Big East? I'll let you start. What's your takeaway on Providence?
I think they're a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I thought this could have been a really bad year for them. Emmett Holt's been pretty good. Rodney Bullock is, he's put up numbers. I know a lot of people thought he was going to be a breakout player, but I just thought, he was going to get a lot of shots up. They
Cartwright's
have,
top 10 in assists, top
I
5 in
like,
assists.
I always like Cartwright. I thought Cartwright was going to have a good year. At the end of the day, I still think this team can't finish in the top half of the league. I think
I
it's
would agree.
I think I'm not sure about St. John's and DePaul. I think will finish last 9 and 10. St. John's and then DePaul, Georgetown. I don't even know with them anymore. They could finish seventh or they could finish eighth, and then Marquette. I think they're somewhere in the mix between Marquette, Georgetown. There's someone in that little mix. I still think Butler finishes ahead of them. I would go Villanova, Creighton, Xavier, Seton Hall, Butler, all better than Providence, and will probably be better than Providence at the end of the year. Did I say Seton? Yeah, I said Seton Hall.
Yeah,
Okay, yeah, so
I would agree with you on that.
six or seven. I think they finished six or seven, which is better than I thought after Bentel declared.
Yeah, and I think everyone kind of headed into this year with Providence, and the way I thought about Providence this year was, hey, just make the NIT this year, get a year under your belt, get some postseason experience under your belt with the NIT, try to compete in some games, and then next year, you're looking at a team that should be in the top three in the Big East, ranked in most preseason polls. They're a little bit ahead of schedule. I mean, looking at their schedule, they don't have a ton of great wins. The home win against Rhode Island is obviously nice. It's a rival. Rhode Island's a good team. But then other than that, I mean, they've beaten Memphis on a neutral court, which who knows how that'll be looked by the end of the season. Right now, it's a top 100 win. But then you're looking at Vermont, New Hampshire, Brown, St. Francis, and Grambling State. So it's not like they're blowing, they're not playing, they're not beating teams that, they're beating teams that they should.
Thing about Providence this year is they'll at least get six ranked games in conference at the worst.
Yeah,
Creighton,
that's
Xavier,
one
and
beauty about the Big
Villanova.
East with them all playing each other twice, is it really won't be a fluke where they finish in the Big East.
Yeah,
Like
I
if
mean
they finish in the top half, they deserve it.
their best win is obviously the Rhode Island one. Was that the Rhode Island game without Hassan Martin or with him?
I think it was with them.
Yeah, it was with him. And then, I mean, they did beat Memphis, but Memphis, it's not, they're all, on the cusp of being outside the top 100, but,
I mean, they're going to
no.
do what they've done this year, which is they're going to beat the teams that they should, and they'll lose to the teams that they should, and they'll probably flip-flop one or two games. Like I could see them losing to a St. John's, but then beating a
Mean,
Seton Hall.
they lost to Marquette twice last year, so it
Yeah,
is,
oh yeah. They'll
but,
get swept by somebody.
But no, to answer the question, I think they're a lot better than they are. I don't know if I'd be as bullish as you are on them next year, but I think they'll be right back on as a fringe tournament team next year because I Cartwright, Lindsey, Bullock,
Holt.
Fizikas will all be Holt. They'll all be upperclassmen. Ed Cooley's a good coach. So yeah, I think they will be. I think they're better than I thought they were in the spring. I thought they were going to be in for a long year, but. No, they look all right so far.
And then lastly, another team that's, I think, obviously everyone agrees has been the biggest surprise so far in the preseason or from in the early season is Baylor. And someone wants to know, do we think that Baylor can end, obviously, Kansas' streak of winning the Big 12? This comes from Z. Leard. Can they? Yes. Do I think they will? No, because I still think Kansas is just a better team. I mean, I think Kansas, I still have Kansas as my pick to win the title, so I'm not, they haven't done anything to make me waver from that. Again, another conference, though, where you get to play everybody twice. So they get their chance to host Kansas and go to Fog Allen. I like what Baylor's done. I love their defense. I really like Motley. I think I always mispronounce his name, but I really love Manu Lakot. I just think Kansas is more balanced.
Yeah, and I think, and I like the fact that they have two experienced guards with Graham and Mason. And Mason looks the part of the National Player of the Year. Josh Jackson could be the top overall pick. So I'm with you. Can they? Yes. Is it more wide open
It's
than
a
for
closer
someone?
gap than.
Yes, it's closer. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. I think it's a closer gap. It's right now than it was in the preseason when we had what, West Virginia second, Texas third, and clearly it doesn't seem like Texas is contending for the Big 12.
No,
West
or
Virginia will be
Iowa
in the mix.
State up in
Yeah.
there.
And we all were second. I remember when West Virginia was voted second. Everyone was like, "Wow, that's really just like a lot of praise for Huggins as a coach." But no, I really do like Baylor. I love their length. I love the fact that, like you said, I can't pronounce the kid's name either. Manu has come in and done exactly what they needed him to do. And that's pretty impressive coming out of a transfer to hit the ground running like he has.
Yeah, and I like one thing Baylor has too is they are balanced and they are deep, you know. And again, they're almost like Kansas in the sense that they have that upperclassman guards. When you look at Manu and Al Freeman and King McClure and Ish Wainwright, like it's all guys that have been around forever. And then obviously throwing Motley, you know, they're not. I think it's lazy just to say, well, they're freshmen, they can't win. There's obviously some advantage to having upperclassmen too. But, you know, can Baylor go into, you know, their wins, while nice, have all come either on home or neutral court. They haven't had an away game yet. Their first away game's at Oklahoma. So
Good
it's,
point.
you know, what happens when they go to Hilton? What happens when they go to Fog Allen? What happens when they go to the Maravich Center up in West Virginia? I know Kansas has been in those games before with the target on their back. Let's say Baylor, you know, Baylor gets their, you know, after Oklahoma, they go to West Virginia January 10th. So it's like they get
Yeah.
Iowa State and Oklahoma State at home to start the game. What happens if they head up to Maravich Center undefeated? Target on their back, you know, top two, three ranking. So I don't know.
If
I
you,
still like Kansas.
yeah, and if you want me to play the devil's advocate here and with Baylor, they beat Oregon without Dillon Brooks.
Yep.
They beat a very shell of itself Michigan State team. Louisville has had it, it's clearly had its problems on offense, but it's still impressive that they came back from being down what they were, and they had Xavier on their home court, and Xavier still does not seem like the team we expect it to be come March. It's going to be a completely different Xavier team, in my opinion. So
I
you can
agree.
poke holes. You can poke holes in all of those big wins, but at the end of the day, they did. They're
They're
all.
winning.
They're all. They're, you can't knock them for winning. But
Right.
yeah. So I'm still going to go with Kansas, even though you know you can say the same thing about Kansas. They lost Indiana on a neutral floor. They beat a Duke team that was missing three potential starters on a neutral floor. But no, I think we kind of hit it on the head. Is I think the gap is closer than we thought it was in October,
Oh, absolutely.
as far as like Kansas and the next contender.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's, yeah, you know, I would agree with that. We'll wrap it up here. Last question.
Hold on, we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. The kid from Central Michigan
Oh,
who pulled that three.
unbelievable.
That
And
is
then to
one of the
do it on the
greatest
next
plays.
possession.
That was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, he's a hell of a player.
Marcus Keene, 5'9",
Yep.
leading scorer in the nation. And if you haven't seen it, you have to look it up. The play is absolutely insane that he just did that in the middle of a game with no reason.
Up six late in the game.
Well, like 2 minutes left.
Two
Like
and
it
a half
wasn't.
minutes left.
Yeah,
And then the
incredible.
next possession, he pulled up from about 40 feet.
I tweeted out today. him at 5'9" and Bruno Mars at 5'5" are the two most confident individuals on the planet.
Bomani Jones said, if you see a guy 5'9 or shorter playing at this level, do not get in a fight with him. Which is
That's
just
a good
like a
point.
Perfect,
That's a good
perfect
point, because
description.
like Calvin Murphy, you know, a Hall of Fame basketball player who was under 6 feet tall, would knock dudes out. Like, he
Yeah.
was tough. Like,
Yeah.
you don't.
Go fight, go, you know, try to go fight like Chris Paul.
Which makes no sense. Why did Kevin Garnett only try to fight short people?
Yeah. Or you could be like Kobe and get two-pieced by Chris Childs. So it's, yeah, it's a watch. I'll tweet it out too. Watch the play. It's phenomenal. We'll end this here because we're coming up on an hour. Real quick, we discussed this off air. Guy Connor underscore Conrad wants to know. Let's limit it to this year. One guy from each side. The Joe Fortes of the world, who was really good in college, just didn't work out as a pro. And then Steven Adams, who kind of flew under the radar a little bit in college. Obviously, wildly successful pro compared to what people thought. I'll start it with you. Who's your one guy that is the Joe Forte, and who's your Steven Adams this year?
I think it's hard to say Jimmer because we thought Jimmer had limitations as a point guard and his
Right.
height was going to be a problem. Adam Morrison, maybe even the safest bet would be Greg Oden.
Yep.
Even though it's just because of the injuries. I'm going off the path of this one. Tarik Black, being in the NBA. Still in the NBA. Like, that to me, I've never understood.
Yeah, and other names that we discussed this before, and other names that we said was, you know, Zach LaVine. I don't
yeah,
think
that's another one.
Anybody expect him to be this good. Andrew Harrison, you know, after his second year, during his second year at Kentucky, I don't think many people expect him to be an NBA player, let alone a starter, and actually kind of looks the part right now. On the flip side of, you know, the Greg Odens and the Joe Fortes of the world, you know, I mentioned all the time Scotty Reynolds and Melo Trimble. They're two guys who are just going to be really good college basketball players and just not be good pros or even make the pros. I kind of think Isaiah Briscoe's leaning that way too. I don't know if he is an NBA player. He just doesn't have the shot. Who knows with him? You know, for the longest time, Kyle Wiltshire kind of looked that part, but he ends up getting drafted. The way the NBA is going, I think he'll kind of fall in the middle. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, many people thought would be player of the year heading into last year. So this year, though, I don't know. I mean, Melo Trimble, obviously, for that, who's like an under-the-radar guy who I think is going to be a really good pro. It's Moses Kingsley, maybe?
I think it's tough. I think it's tough to sort of answer that because if we knew that, we would be making the decisions on some of these draft
I'd be the
picks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So that's where there remains to be seen. I don't know. Maybe OG from Indiana becomes the next Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
You know?
So they're out there.
Something like that.
All right. So we'll wrap up with that. Like I said, we're coming up on an hour. It's been obviously a slow week in terms of games. But obviously, follow the show at Storm the Court PC. Follow Terrence, two R's and Terrence underscore Payne, PAYNE. Follow me if you're not already at Barstool Reegs. We'll be back again next week because we got some great games next weekend. So we'll get into that. Until next time, again, just follow the show. At